And so, the repeat button, that one. Give me a thumbs up, man. I said, give me a thumbs up when you're. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Sunday morning, even though we're not together physically, we're always together spiritually. So, Father God, we come before you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that, Father, that you're here in the midst of all that we do, Father. Lord, that no matter what is going on, Father God, in the world or in our lives, Father God, that, Father, this morning we declare, we claim, Father God, that we will not be shaken, Father God. Lord, that even though we're amidst the pandemic, Father God, amid all this election that's going on, Father God, we will not be shaken.
We stand, Father God, all of who you are, Lord. We give you all the praise, Lord God, this morning. We give you all the glory this morning, Father God. Hallelujah. Have your way, Father God, in our homes, Lord God, as we join together, Father God, across this city, Father God. So, Father, wherever we are right now, Lord God, we ask that you would just be with us. That you would fill our hearts, Lord God. You would fill whatever room we're in, Father God, right now. We would be able to just worship you, Father God. We give you praise, Father. We give you glory. We give ourselves to you. Hallelujah.
I was covered with sin.
Glories, 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 we will sing.
Hallelujah. Father, we know that you rule and you reign, Father. Even now, Father God. Every day, Father God.
There's not like you. It's not.
children are safe in your arms. There is none like you. Your mercy flows like a river wide. Healing comes from your hands. Suffering children are safe in your arms. There is none like you, mercy. Your mercy flows like river wide. Healing comes from your hands. Suffering children are safe in your arms, Jesus. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
Thank you. Yeah.
We lift you high, God. High above the heavens, high above this earth. We fix our eyes on you, Lord God. Father, Lord, it looks like things are falling apart around us, Lord God. Father, we must still have faith and trust, Lord, that you are in control, Father. Lord God, your word says that your ways are not our ways, Father, but your ways are higher than our ways, Father God. Even though things are not going the way that we see them, Father, we know and we trust, Lord. You are in control, Father. You are in control, Father, of everything. So we surrender that to you, Lord. Our thoughts, Father God, this morning. We fix our eyes on you. Fix our eyes on you, Yahweh. Oh, just worship you, Yahweh. Yahweh, we lift you high. Yahweh, Yahweh, we lift you high. Yahweh, we lift you high. Yahweh, Yahweh, we fix our eyes. So we lift you high, we lift you high, Yahweh, Yahweh, we lift you high, Yahweh, we lift you high, Yahweh. Yahweh, we fix our eyes. Yahweh, Yahweh, we fix our eyes. Yahweh, Yahweh. Your Adonai, Yahweh. You are Adonai, Yahweh, Yahweh. You are Adonai. Yahweh, Yahweh, we lift you high. Yahweh, Yahweh, we lift you high. Yahweh,
thank you, Bob, for leading us in worship this morning. I trust that you were able there in your homes this morning to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who's worthy of all our praise. Friends, this morning I come to you with a very, very heavy heart. As many of you are probably experiencing the very same thing that I am. We did not get the results that we were hoping for, the results that we had prayed about. And I'm sure this feeling is felt around throughout the United States of America this morning. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Two things I want to get from this verse of scripture. Number one is, let not our hearts be troubled. And I know that many of us are hoping that God would rescue us and just take us to that place where he is prepared for us. But I'm here to say this morning, friends, that God is not done with us. He has so much more that he wants to accomplish through the believer the church. For several weeks prior to the election, not only here, but across America, believers came together. We prayed. We prayed over the elections. We prayed over our president. There was a movement that was created as a result of what we were facing. And I recall when God spoke to me and he said to me that we were to take a Sunday evening and begin to pray and gather the people here at Praise and Worship and join in agreeing together over the issues that were at hand. And it was that Sunday morning, that first Sunday morning, that we were about to start our evening prayer that God spoke to me once again, and he said, no, I don't want you to do it just once. I want you to do it five times. So we did the five Sundays prior to the election. And I have to say that we had some great prayer time, just crying out to God, crying out to God. And as I was watching the elections on Tuesday night, things were looking really, really good. They're looking good. In fact, several of the commentators were, in a sense, saying that our president was going to be reelected. I stayed up till midnight. And even at that point, things hadn't changed a whole lot. But around midnight, they said that they would not be able to declare who had won. So I thought, well, there's no reason to stay up any longer. So I went to bed, fell asleep. And I woke up at 5 o'clock that morning and immediately turned on the television, only to find that the results were the same. But even at that point, it appeared that something happened overnight, that now we were starting to lose this election. And when I saw that, I got sick to my stomach. Even though that for several days, they had not declared Biden our next president. I heard from many different ones, and we're all sharing our thoughts. Listen to different ones on television. We're all sharing our thoughts. And a lot was going on. A lot was being said about the fraud of this election, how they were trying to steal this election. And listening to all the comments that were being said and things that were being put out on YouTube, I still felt sick to my stomach because it seemed like there was just no way of turning this thing around. And then yesterday, when the Associated Press declared Joe Biden the next president of the United States, it set in. I have to admit to you this morning that when I saw things turning, and in spite of everything that was being said about the fraud and trying to steal the election, there was a time within myself that I felt like, what has happened here? It's as I said, Lord, we did our part. We fasted, we prayed. There was a movement across the United States of America. People were crying out. I was reminded of the rallies that our president held, and thousands of people were attending these in the parades. And I just kept thinking, Lord, what happened here? And I think like many, we probably felt like God failed us. But I want you to know this morning, God did not fail us. God is still in control. God's still in that throne. And God wants to do so much more with his church, the body. He wants to do so much more. As we were preparing for Wednesday night prayer this past week, and unfortunately we were not able to have it, and the reason we're coming to you this morning through live streaming is because, and I think we've explained it, that there was a couple of people that came in close contact with someone that tested positive, and for that reason I felt that the best thing to do is to cancel our Wednesday night prayer and services this morning so that we could give it some time and come in here and disinfect the entire building, which we did yesterday. But on Wednesday this past week, as I was preparing for Wednesday night prayer, the Lord brought me to this verse of scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is what I wanted to share with them on Wednesday night, because I knew that those that attend were at a point of not understanding what was going on, and perhaps feeling the same way, that heavy heart, and perhaps even feeling like God might have failed us. And this is a verse of scripture that God gave me that I would share that night. Was not able to, but I'm sharing it with you this morning because I think it is so important to know that God is still speaking to the church, speaking to the body. He wants us to once again examine ourselves and see where we are at. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And what really spoke to me, and I hope this speaks to you as well this morning, friends, I want you to know that those 5 weeks that we spent in prayer, I want you to know that movement across America, the worship services that came as we were just worshiping God, I want you to know that all of that work, it was not in vain. So I want you this morning to lift your heads up and let God minister to our hearts. And let him lift up that hurt. And as John says, let not your heart be troubled. God has a plan. He's not done with us yet. He's not done with America yet. God has a plan. And we can't feel or think that these last 5 weeks and prior to that and all that we put into it, that was in vain. God took notice. He looked down upon America and he saw his people crying out to him. He's not done yet. That spoke to me, that your labor is not in vain. But what else spoke to me here is that he is saying to us during this time to be steadfast, immovable, and to continue to abound in the work of the Lord. What that verse of scripture is saying is we don't need to waver. We need to stand firm. We don't need to change direction. We need to stand firm and continue in the direction that we're going. And I will speak to that a bit more in just a moment. We don't need to fall. And lastly, we don't need to quit. For God is not unjust to forget your work and our labor of love, which we have shown toward his name. In that we have ministered to the saints and to minister. The Lord will show his remembrance of our work and the labor of love at the resurrection. So this morning, I want to look at another part of Corinthians where Paul, in the 16th chapter, in the 13th verse, he says, watch, stand fast in the faith. And I think that in the last few days, we've heard many, many people saying to us, keep the faith. Keep the faith. And friends, if there's ever a time that we need to keep the faith, now is the time for us to hold on to that faith, hold on to that hope, because it's not over yet. Even with our president-elect Biden, it's not over. God wants to do so much more. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave. Be brave and be strong. In a sense, each of these mean the same thing, simply saying in a different way. Christians are to take or to be like soldiers, strong soldiers. We are to be on guard and watching for the Lord's return. So I believe that these words that Paul spoke are very fitting for where we are at right now. To realize that now is the time for us to rise up, increase our faith, increase our devotion, increase more time for God. Be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. As I continue to read there, I go over to 2 Corinthians. I will read several verses here, and I will comment on a few verses. God senses our pain. He senses our broken heart. He knows. But he wants to minister to us, and he wants us to rise up. He wants us to draw strength from his word. He wants us to give of ourselves to the presence, to his presence, and allow the power of his Holy Spirit to strengthen us. He wants to minister to us. So let me read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I will start reading with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, and I can say to the church of God, which is throughout the United States of America, to the church of God that is here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to the church of God in the South Valley, to Praise and Worship Center, he says, with all the saints who are in Achaia, grace to you, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we receive that? We're covered by his grace. We're saved by his grace. And his grace has not disappeared. It's still there. He's still over us. His peace is the only one. And the word says that peace that surpasses all understanding. Friends, I don't want you to put your peace on anything else but God himself, because he will help us in this time of not understanding. If we allow his peace, he's going to comfort us. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, You know, the Bible tells us that its mercies are new every morning, and even more so today, and these coming months and years, as long as the Lord tarries. We need to wake up every morning and recognize that those mercies are new every morning. We know that 4 years ago, God extended his grace. God extended his mercy towards us by giving us a president that we enjoyed so much for 4 years. But his mercies continue. And we need to just rejoice in the fact that his mercy has not been pulled back. It's his grace and his mercy. If we just embrace that, that will comfort us. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Yes, we need that comfort right now. And I think the more that we embrace that comfort. And why is it that we need that comfort? Because we believe right now that we are going through that time of tribulation. Those trials and that suffering that we feel that we're going through right now. As we look into our future, and it appears that what we've enjoyed these last 4 years, it's over. Friends, let me remind you of something that God spoke to me several years ago. Our issues are not political. Our issues are spiritual. They're spiritual. And I know that there's a lot of questions right now. What's going to happen? What are we up against? And if we don't embrace this comfort that God can give us through his word, then we are in trouble. Who comforts us in all of our sufferings, all our tribulation, everything that we're going through right now. Friends, if we focus only on the circumstances that we are looking at right now, we are going to be down and out. But if we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we put our whole faith and trust in his word that speaks to us. If we can do that, we can raise our heads up. We can lift our heads up and say, God is in control, and whatever he wants to do, I submit my will. I give him permission to do whatever he wants to do within myself. And the church needs to do the same thing. The body of Christ, when we come together, they need to do the same thing and say, you are in control. Let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done in this church. Friends, there's a lot of examining that needs to take place within our own selves, as personally and as a church, corporately. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. And so what Paul simply is saying there is that, yes, we're going to suffer. We're going to go through these times. But as it abounds in us, so does the consolation. He's the one that's going to console us. It's him. Verse 6 says, now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will be partakers, or you will partake of the consolation. Our consolation also abounds through Christ. God may allow situations in our lives where our only consolation is found through Christ. Sometimes we think that the only consolation is found in a change of circumstances, but God wants to console us right in the midst of our difficult circumstances and to do it through Christ. He says they're effective for enduring. God's desire is that we would be enduring through suffering. The ancient Greek word for enduring is hupomone. It isn't the idea of passive, bleak acceptance, but of the kind of spirit that can triumph over pain and over suffering to achieve the goal. Is the spirit of the marathon runner, not of the victim that is in the dentist's chair. So God wants us to abound in the work that he's called us to do. Verse 9 says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And I think that sometimes we feel like it's over. It's over. That sentence of death. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Friends, I wanna bring a point, and I hope that you understand what I'm trying to say here. When we look at what happened, and if we can be honest with ourselves, prior to the election, and I can say I did the very same thing. I spoke those same exact words from behind this pulpit. We said to ourselves, there's just no way he can lose. When you look at the thousands and the thousands of rallies that he held, that people attended his rallies, in the thousands. When we look at the parades that were done for Trump, and when we look at the one in Arizona that was 96 miles long, and we're looking at the rallies, we're looking at the parades, but friends, did we ever look at God and say, God is the one who's going to put him back in office? We're looking at all these things that are evident to us, the rallies and the parades, but did we ever say God's going to put him back in there? We're giving all the credit to the thousands that attended. We're giving credit to the parades, but did we ever really consider God, you're the one that's going to put him back in there? We got lost in all this. We got lost in it. Verse 10 says, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Friends, I think we put too much trust in ourselves. We put too much trust in what we saw, instead of giving glory to God. We need to look at those things. Remember, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to put anything before him or give credit to anyone but to him. And so in some sense, we can say that what has happened, we are to blame. We did what we could. We did the best we could. We prayed. We believed. We fasted. We did all the things. But there are certain areas that we failed. You think about all the prophetic utterances that were out there, and these prophets that spoke out and said, that God had spoke to them and given them clear vision, clear direction that God, Trump would be reelected. I don't know. Maybe God's exposing false prophets as well. I don't know. Maybe we put too much focus on these prophets. Friends, I'm going to say something, and I hope that you accept this with love. We need to start turning off our computers, our YouTubes. We need to turn off all these sources that are driving us. We need to turn off all these prophetic prophets that are speaking all this. We need to turn them off. And we need to seek God with all of our heart, with all our mind, and all of our strength. We need to hear from God, not from Google, not from these prophetic prophets. We ourselves, as individuals, we need to hear from God. We need to stop. We need to stop speaking what these other people are saying. We need prayers from our heart, not from these other people. We need to be led by the Spirit, not by these other people. Have we become so dependent? Have we become so dependent on these other sources rather than depend on the Holy Spirit? Oh, but Pastor, these other people, they hear from God. I want you to know you can hear from God. I can hear from God. We need to turn our computers off, friends. We need to turn our phones off. We need to turn the television off. And we need to find ourselves on our faces, just prostrate there. And we need to begin to seek God with everything that is within us. And we need to stay there until we hear a fresh word from God. We've depended so much on ourselves. We've depended so much on other sources. And I'm going to make another statement, and I hope you receive this. I believe Intercessors for America is doing a wonderful job, and I will say that. And I'm guilty of this, of reading and taking to heart everything that they put out. And friends, I'm simply saying they're putting out good stuff. But they're not God. They're not the Holy Spirit. Oh, did you hear what Pastor so-and-so said over there? Oh, did you hear what the prophet said over there? Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. No, we've got to start listening to the Holy Spirit and not listen to all these other sources. God is hurt. He's grieved. He's grieved because we have put all our attention on everyone else besides the Word of God, besides Ruach HaKadosh, the one that is able to speak to us, just like he did to Isaiah, just like he did to Jeremiah, all these prophets in our Word. He spoke to them specifically, and he can do the very same thing for us. We need to turn these sources off, friends. And we need to do it on our own. And if it takes days, if it takes months, and just seeking God, so be it. We cannot be led by other men's thoughts. We cannot be led by other men's prophetic utterances. God can give us our own prophetic utterance where we can just build on that. Gosh, there's so much that God wants to do in the church today. There's so much that God wants to do in individuals. And friends, I'm telling you right now that I am guilty of all this. And I want to right now say that I will no longer be led by these other sources. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to come up here on a Sunday morning and give you a fresh message of what God has given me, because I have spent my time in His presence and hearing His voice so that I can give you something that's fresh. Don't worry about what's happening in California or New York. Don't worry about what's happening in other countries. We need to worry about what's happening here in America, here in Albuquerque, and here at Praise and Worship Center. That's what we need to be worried about. what's next? I have a hard time moving on to these other verses of scripture because I think, I believe that there's more that we need to gain from this. I said months ago, I made a statement and I said that if Trump loses this election, the church has failed. Don't get me wrong. Everything that we've done, all that labor was not in vain. But we failed because God wanted to do so much more. He wanted to strip us of everything that we're dependent on. And we continued to be led by these other sources. Having said all that, friends, I hope you receive what I've said this morning because it's so important. When God spoke to Moses, and of course Moses argued, negotiated with God to the point where he finally submitted. Moses knew, and friends, I've preached this message. Moses knew the importance of, well, first of all, he knew the task that was before him to lead 800,000, 900,000, a million people out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. He knew that there was just no way he could do that on his own. You remember during his negotiating and his with God, he approaches the burning bush where he experienced I am. And it was there where Moses says, if they ask who sent me, what do I tell them? And God says to him, you just tell them that I am sent you. See, I believe that experience at the burning bush transformed Moses, and he realized that the task that was before him was huge, impossible without the leading of the great I am. And even during his negotiating and his struggles and everything, at one point when he realized how important it was that he be led by God, he said to God, he says, God, I will not go anywhere. I will not go anywhere unless you go before me. We need to get back to that, guys. We need to get back to that. Anything that we put together, any ministry that we want to be involved in, we need to seek God. And we need to say, God, we're not going to do this unless you go before us. And without any doubt, know that when God spoke to us, that is what we need to do. Friends, if there's some changes that need to take place here at Praise and Worship Center, I'm open to it because what I want is I want the will of God to be done here at Praise and Worship Center. I don't want you to follow what I feel is right. I want you to follow what you know that God wants for us. And guys, I want you to know that it's not just me, the pastor, and my wife, and a few. He's calling the entire church. And I think it's time that we fall on our faces and we cry out to God. Oh, Pastor, that's not a very comfortable position. Well, that's just a problem. That we become so comfortable in our churches today. We become so comfortable that the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what, you don't need me. And we need to get back to the point like Moses. We're not going to do anything unless we're led by your Spirit. I challenge you this morning. And I will repeat this next Sunday. And by the way, we will be back with live services on Wednesday for prayer and next Sunday. But I will repeat this on Sunday, and I will repeat this challenge. that I can get those that will join me in fasting. And in that fast, we're going to give up our telephones only for reaching a family member or an emergency. We're going to turn off our computers when we go into Google and we do all these searches. We're going to turn them off. We're not going to listen to these prophetic prophets that are out there. We're going to shut them out. We're going to do that for 40 days. We will begin that on Sunday. We're going to shut down our televisions and all the pleasure that we get out of television. And friends, when I say that, I'm not just saying it to you. I'm saying it to myself because there's a lot of things that I look at that I need to stop looking at. Not things that are bad for me. It's just things that take time away from what God wants to do in my life. Is it possible? Is it possible that God is saying, okay, look, I heard your cries. I heard all this, but I just can't give you 4 more years. Now it's time to change. Now it's time to give up certain things. And if you are fearful of what the future holds for us because of our president-elect, for that reason and even more, it's time to turn these gadgets off and see God. So what's next? What's next? With God as our strength and our guiding light, we can overcome and we can rise above our hardships. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand, and I say to you, don't fear, I will help you. And Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So what do we do next? We dig deeper and we become more committed. Not committed to me or to the church, but more committed to a relationship with God. His word, and I just read to you, is a promise to us that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that is what overcomes the world. That he is the one that will take our right hand. And he's the one that will say to us, don't be afraid, don't fear, I'm going to help you. We dig deeper in our commitment to God, our relationship to the Lord. We dig deeper in our prayer time. We dig deeper in our study of the Word, the reading of the Word. We dig deeper into evangelizing our families, those that are lost. We dig deeper into that time of worship where it's all about him and not about us. Let me remind you that just a few weeks ago, I shared with you a message, and in that message, I spoke of how the world is become so worldly. And I remind you of that because it's very possible that even within our own little congregation, we have become so attached to the world. And that doesn't please God. See, the church of Laodicea, God says, I would rather you be hot or cold. I don't want you lukewarm. And see, the lukewarm Christian is the one that has attached themselves to the world. And they can't let go. Friends, the grip that the world has on the church, it's incredible. And I believe that's where God is saying, I want to change. I want to change my body, the body that is down there, to represent me in a way that brings glory to me and not to anyone else. In closing, let me go to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 15. Second Chronicles 15. Let me start reading with the first verse. Now, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. And if we can say that for a long time, America has been without the true God. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord, God of Israel sought him, and he was found by them. Friends, I want you to know it's not too late. It's not over yet. We've got to turn these heavy hearts. We've got to turn them through the power of his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to turn it around and say, okay, now, I'm going to let go of these feelings that I have, the feelings of defeat. I refuse to quit. I refuse to throw the white flag of surrender. I refuse to do all that. I'm going to change that. And I'm going to say, I'm going to commit myself more to God than ever. It's not too late. And we can make a bigger impact these next 4 years than we did the last four. When the church rises up, even more than we did these last few months, it can make a difference. It says right here in verse 2, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Verse 5, and in those times there was no peace to the one who went out nor to the one who came in. I imagine there are those of you that are saying, oh no, our America is ruined. We're not going to have any more peace. But friends, that peace that this world brings is not satisfying. We've got to find our peace in Christ, in Jesus Christ. We need to find our peace in God. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. And that's where we're at today. We feel like, oh no, there's great turmoil. I know this is crazy, but all of you know this. Peter is on the boat in the Sea of Galilee. They're going across. Jesus walks on water. And Peter says, Lord, is that you? If it is you, bid me to come to you. And Peter steps over the boat and he stands on the water. And what happened to Peter? He sank. Why? Because he put his eyes on the circumstance. As soon as he saw the circumstance, the water that he was standing on, he began to sink. Friends, if we look at these next 4 years as something horrible, something bad, everything's going to fall apart. Well, I've got news for you. That's the life, the kind of life that you're going to live. that if I put my faith in God, and if I put my faith in the Word of God, and if I wake up every morning and I say, thank you for your mercies that are new every morning, and I fix my eyes on God, and I say, God, let me be led by the great I am today, and let me get my eyes off of the circumstance and everything that's happening around me. So, but great turmoil was in all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But then look at verse 7, and these are my words that I say to you. Be strong, don't let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Again, pretty much the way I started, I'm finishing it. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. This is where we go next. This we do. We will survive because God is watching over us. And if there's more persecution, more tribulation, more suffering that comes along our way, so be it. If God be with us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so, friends, this morning, I want you to lift your heads up. Lift your heads up. And know that God is in control. He's still in control. He wants to do a work. He wants to do a work in each one of us. But there are certain changes that we must make as well to allow that change, that work that he wants to accomplish in us to take effect. So I challenge you this morning. I challenge you this morning to draw closer to him. James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's what he wants. And I just remind you, God's coming back for a church that is without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. Would you pray with me? Father God, we rejoice. We rejoice over the fact that we are in the midst of a new era. I pray this morning that we will not focus on the changes that will be brought by this new administration. I pray that we can let go, that our feelings and our emotions will not get the best of us, that by faith we will believe that you are going to lead us. You're going to make us more than conquerors in Christ. You're going to help us become strong and fearless. God, I believe you're going to raise up churches across America that are going to seek you day and night. They're going to come together. Unity in the body, strength in the body. Father, as we submit to ourselves to you, as we give you permission to invade every part of our lives, I believe, God, that those that are out there that are lost without any hope are going to look to us, look to the body of Christ for that hope. But we must remain steadfast. We must remain immovable. We must be brave and let our voices be heard. Father, help us. Guide us, lead us. Give us your wisdom. Show us your plan. Reveal to us, God, your word. Let it come alive to those that will get into your word. Let it come alive and let it speak to them. God, help us today. Father, I pray this in your name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and he will give you his peace. God bless. Join us on Wednesday. We will be here live. Next Sunday, 10 o'clock. We will be here live. We're here to take on the challenges that God is going to place upon our lives, to bring his church back to where he wants it to be. God bless you, and hope to see you on Wednesday.